Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be here today. Last evening also I was here with some of you, and I'm happy to meet you all again. And many of you, of course, were not here yesterday. And I'm very happy to be with you all also. And is there anyone who is coming for the first time to this temple? Oh. So what's your first impression? How did you like it? Very peaceful? You also look very peaceful. Very good. Okay. And where are you from? Which, wonderful, which part of China? Shanghai. Oh, wonderful. Welcome to the United States and welcome to the Hare Krishna world. Wonderful. So everybody, greet her with Hare Krishna. Well, let me just introduce her. Maybe you can stand up so that everybody can see you. Wonderful. Why don't you say it in the mic so that everybody can hear?
I didn't plan to come to chanting. I didn't know there was something like that. But just before I came to America, I read a book, The Journey of Going Home by American Swami. So I knew in California and in other places and the spirituality has been well spread out. And on my way going somewhere this morning, actually this noon, somebody, I got lost and then I stopped over there with my bicycle and somebody came from here and he said, oh, we were dancing and it's very spiritual, just feel like what you want, whatever, try it. And I was like, okay, I'll go somewhere, I want to come back, if it's still there, I would check it out. And 4 hours later, I came back and I heard the chanting, amazing. You know, by the street and Venice Boulevard, I could hear it. And I got intrigued and I came in and I feel beautiful. It was a blessing here. Thank you.
What's your name? Viviana. Wonderful, Viviana. Thank you very much. And you know something, the Swami who wrote The Journey Home that you read, that Swami is here in LA. And he'll be here till Thursday. So maybe you can meet him also. introduce her to Radhanath Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Very good. Very good. So, yeah, she actually mentioned that her coming to the temple in this way today was her destiny. That's an interesting way to look at it. Yes, destiny means Krishna brought you here. And Krishna has some other plans with you. Thank you. Hare Krishna, so today's topic is Why did Krishna come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because of this topic, actually I wanted to know how many are new. In that case I would know, because the topic is quite lofty, quite elevated. And so I was actually considering how should I present this topic today. So I guess we have to begin from the beginning. You have to present it from the beginning. Okay, what is this here? What you are facing here? This is the altar. Altar means this is a place of worship. Why this is a place of worship? Because the worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is present here. He is present here in three sets, in three ways. In that extreme corner is Sri Sri Gaur Nithai. How many of you know who is Gaur Nithai? Please raise your hand. Okay, most of the hands went up. How many of you do not know who is Gaur Nithai? Yes. Okay. Then next to that in the center is Sri Sri Rukmini Dwarkadhish. Who is Rukmini Dwarkadhish? How many of you know? Okay, naturally. And then there is Jagannath, Baladev and Subhadra. So, these are the three manifestations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? What does it mean? Supreme Personality of Godhead. Godhead, meaning God. But nowadays there are many different concepts of God. There are many gods. But in order to identify that God is one without a second, there is this consideration that He is the Supreme. Supreme means? Supreme literally means who is unique, who is one without a second. Because Supreme means no one is equal to Him and no one is superior to Him. That is the meaning of the word supreme. Supreme, highest, topmost. No one is superior to Him. And what to speak of superior, no one is even equal to Him. That is supreme. So that is God. He is supreme. That is, no one is equal to Him and no one is superior to Him. Therefore, He is one without a second. In one hand, we are seeing that God is one without a second. He is one, He is ultimate, absolute one. But then again, on the altar, we are seeing that He is present in three forms, in three features. So what does it mean? So here we have to understand God's inconceivable potency. Due to this potency, He can expand Himself. Although He is one, without a second, but He can expand Himself. His expansions are also of two kinds. One is called Swamsa, or His expansion with full potency, and another is His expansion as His parts and parcels. He can expand Himself into many without losing His potency, remaining the same. But at the same time, He also expands as His parts and parcels. Now we, who are known as living entities, jivas, we are His expansions as parts and parcels. His parts and parcels. Okay, to clarify that point, we can give an example. Consider the sun. Sun is there, and the sun has innumerable rays coming out from the sun. So those rays of the sun also has the qualities of the sun. What are the qualities of sun? Say the quality of sun is light and heat. The sun is a source of inconceivable light and heat. And sun's rays also have light and heat. Only difference is that the sun has inconceivable light and heat, whereas the rays has tiny atomic quantity of light and heat. Very little light and heat. So jivas, the living entities, are like that. Rays of, we can, if God is compared to sun, then we are like the rays of the sun. Qualitatively, we are one. God is spiritual, we are also spiritual. God is endowed with three specific spiritual qualities. Those three specific spiritual qualities are eternity, knowledge, eternal knowledge, and bliss. God is eternal. We are also eternal. Our body may be perishable, our body may be temporary, but we, the souls, we are eternal. The soul never dies. Soul simply transmigrates from one body to another body. So the souls are also eternal. We are also eternal. And spirit souls are, God is full of knowledge, he is conscious, full of consciousness, full of knowledge. And we are also conscious, but our consciousness is minute, whereas his consciousness is absolute. And the third quality, spiritual quality of God, is that he is joyful, eternally joyful. Bliss. He is blissful. Anandam. And we are also joyful. In our constitutional position, as pure spiritual entities, we are eternal, we are full of knowledge, and we are full of bliss. But we are minute. Eternity, knowledge, and bliss. God is absolute, eternal knowledge of bliss. So that is one way to understand what we are in relation to God. Now, will anybody ever say a ray of sun to be sun? To be the sun? No. A ray is a ray of sun, and the sun is the source of all the lights. But qualitatively, we are one with God. But quantitatively, we are different. Now, this is our relationship with God. Now, what is the relationship between the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his incarnations? Incarnations means expansions. Now, in our sky, there is one sun only. But consider that this sun can expand. One sun can become many. One sun became two, three, four, five, and so forth. Then will those suns have any difference between them? Qualitatively and quantitatively? No. So this is how the incarnations of the Lord are. Innumerable incarnations are there. And you know, he is situated in everyone's heart. Speaking about incarnations, one of his incarnations is in your heart. So that is how he manifests his inconceivable potency. God is there in everyone's heart as the super soul. You are a spirit soul, and he is the super soul or the supreme soul. He is the supreme soul. Now just consider how many living, not only he is present in the hearts of the human beings, he is in the heart of every living entity. He is in the heart of the human beings, he is in the hearts of the animals, birds, reptiles, insects, worms, trees and plants. Consider his incarnations. Consider his expansion. In his full potency, he is present in everyone's heart. And that is his potency. That is to give just one example of his expansion. He expands in various ways. Those expansions are known as avatar. The super soul aspect is one of his expansions. In the Vedic scriptures, although the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable, but they have been classified into six categories. Those six categories are Purushavatars, Leelavatars, Gunavatars, Jugavatar, Manvantara Avatar and Shaktavesh Avatar. Purushavatar. Purusha Avatars are Vishnu incarnations of the Lord. Vishnu aspect of the Lord is in relation to the creation of this material nature. When this material nature is, when the Lord creates this material nature, then he expands himself as Vishnu. The first aspect of Vishnu is Mahavishnu or Karana Dakshayi Vishnu. Karana Dakshayi Vishnu. Karana means cause, and Udaka means ocean, and Shayi means lying down. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in this incarnation is lying down in the causal ocean, ocean of cause. We all are familiar of ocean of salt water, right? Salt water ocean. Pretty close to LA you have it, a salt water ocean. But there are various kinds of oceans, you know. Not only the ocean is the ocean of salt. Just in this plane of the creation, there are seven different types of oceans. There is a salt water ocean, there is sugar water ocean, there is liquor ocean, there is ocean of ghee, clarified butter, there is ocean of yogurt, there is ocean of milk, and there is ocean of pure water. So these are the seven types of oceans in this plane, known as Bhumandal. We are surrounded by saltwater ocean. But in another plane, it goes on like that. So, similarly, more subtle consideration, in the more subtle aspect, there is an ocean of cause. Cause is a substance. Like behind every action there is a cause. Can there be something without a cause? Don't you say because? So cause is a substance. And there is an ocean of cause. Causal ocean. And the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in order to create this material nature, he lies down in that causal ocean, as Mahavishnu. And as he lies down in the causal ocean, and as he breathes, due to his breathing, bubbles are generated. When you breathe underwater in a swimming pool, what happens? Bubbles are generated. So similarly, when the Lord breathes in the causal ocean, the bubbles are generated. And those bubbles, each bubble is an universe. So initially the bubbles are empty inside. So he enters into each bubble, fills up the half of the bubble with water generated from his own body, and then he lies in that, on that water. That aspect of the Lord is known as Garbhodokshaya Vishnu. And from the lotus emanating from his navel, from his navel comes out a lotus. And the first created being in the universe, Lord Brahma, is situated in that lotus. Rather, on that lotus. And on the stem of that lotus, there are 14 planetary systems. There are 14 planets. 7 of them are higher and 7 of them are lower. So the 7 higher planetary systems are known as Bhurloka. This is the lowest of the 7. Bhurloka, this one. Above Bhurloka is the Bhubarloka. Then Swarloka, or the heavenly planet. Then Maharloka, the planet where the sages reside. And this way, Janaloka, Tapaloka, Sattaloka. The topmost region of this universe is the place where Lord Brahma is situated. And there are 7 lower planetary systems. They are known as Atal, Bital, Sutal, Talatal, Mahatal, Rasatal and Patal. 7. In simple words, they are described as subterranean planetary systems. Subterranean, below the ground. Above ground, you can say, the region where the sun's light enters, they're the upper planetary systems, illuminated by sun. But the lower planetary systems are the region where sun's rays don't enter. So in this way, there's a very, very detailed, scientific, factual descriptions of the creation and the situation, the planetary systems of this universe. So this is one aspect. The Lord expands himself as Mahavishnu, then Garbhodokshaya Vishnu, then Kshirodokshaya Vishnu. As Garbhodokshaya Vishnu, he entered into every single universe. And then he entered in the heart of every single living entity and in every single atom. That aspect of the Lord is known as Kshirodokshaya Vishnu. In that aspect, the Lord is lying on an ocean of milk. Kshira means milk. Ocean of milk. So these three are known as Purushavatar. Three Vishnus. Karanodakshai Vishnu, Garbhodakshai Vishnu, and Kshirodakshai Vishnu. Then the Lord manifests himself to control the three modes of the material nature. There are three modes of material nature known as Sattugun, Rajagun, Tamagun. Mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. Expanding himself as Vishnu, Another aspect of Vishnu, he controls the mode of goodness. As Brahma, he controls the mode of passion. And as Lord Shiva, he controls the mode of ignorance. So they are known as Gunavatar. Then the Lord performs various pastimes in this material nature, and in that incarnation he is known as Leelavatar. Like you heard of the pastimes of the Lord as Varahadev, Nrisingadev, Kurma, they are the Leelavatars of the Lord. Then the time moves in cycles, creating four different aspects of time called yugas. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga and Kali Yuga. So these are the four yugas, and in the four yugas the Lord appears as the Yugavatars to establish the principle of religion of that specific time or yuga. They are known as Yugavatars. And then in every manvantar, in a day of Brahma there are 14 manus. Manus are like the controllers of the universal affairs, and they come with their own entourage or group of a set of demigods, a set of sages and so forth. So the Lord appears in the reign of each manu as Manvantar avatar. And then sometimes the Lord empowers a living entity He empowers a living entity to achieve some special purpose. And in that he is known as Shakta Avesh Avatar. He empowers, Shakti Avesh. He induces the living entities with his own potency. Shakta Avesh Avatar. So these are the six different categories. Although the Lord's incarnations are innumerable, but they fall in these six categories. The Lord's incarnations fall in these six categories. Purushavatar, Gunavatar, Leelavatar, Yugavatar, Manvantar Avatar and Shaktavesh Avatar. So in this way the Lord expands himself into innumerable incarnations, retaining his complete potency in each expansion. So this is how the Lord expands. But although the Lord expands himself, but he, as the supreme, supreme personality of Godhead, is manifest as Krishna. That is, in the center of the altar that you are seeing, Rukmini Dwarkadhish. That means Krishna with his pleasure potency. Radha Krishna. So this Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many innumerable incarnations, but Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. These incarnations have been described as parts and parts of the parts and so forth. Ete changsha kala pungsha. Amsa and kala. Amsa means part and kala means parts of the parts. But Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavan Swayam. Now what is the difference between incarnations and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna? No difference. He is simply playing different roles in different incarnations, executing different purpose. But he is the same. In his incarnations, he is displaying different aspects of his qualities, but he himself displays full potency. All his qualities are fully manifest in him as Krishna. That Krishna eternally resides in Vrindavan. Okay, now we are entering into another region. Spiritual sky. Okay, spiritual sky. Beyond this material nature, there is a spiritual reality. This material nature is not the only reality. This is, it's real, but it's a reflected reality. It's a reflection of the spiritual world. It's not real reality. It's a reflection of the reality. But the real reality is the spiritual world. In simple words, we can say that when you look around and consider different objects in this room, then we will see that some objects are inert. Like this table, the stand, floor, the walls, etc. They are inert matter. Unconscious matter. Dead matter. But you and I, we all, are we dead matter? We are living entities, living. Now, our bodies are made of what? Our bodies are made of matter. Just as this is made of matter, this body is also made of matter. Your bodies are also made of matter. But we are conscious, unlike the other matters. Now, what makes these bodies conscious? What makes the body conscious? What made our body conscious? Presence of the soul. As long as the soul is in the body will remain conscious. When the soul leaves the body, what will happen to the body? Which the body will die. It will become dead body. The dead matter will become dead again. Now, because of the presence of the soul in this dead body, this body is alive. So, is the body, is the soul material or non-material? Non-material. Hence, the soul is spiritual. Did this spiritual soul generated out of the combination of matter? Or it came from another reality, another world? Obviously, it came from another world. Where did it come from? It came from the spiritual world or spiritual sky. It came from spiritual world. Now, the description of the spiritual world is also available in our scriptures. Like I described about the universe, I described about the causal ocean, right? There is an ocean of cause. Now, beyond, we know what is beyond that causal ocean? Okay, let's start with the beyond. What is beyond this universe? What is in the outer side of the outer layers of the universe? There are 7 layers of the universe. Each universe has got 7 layers. First layer is of earth, then water, then fire, then air, then ether, then mind, false ego, and then finally the layer of material nature. So that is the shape of the universe. Beyond that is causal ocean. And beyond causal ocean is spiritual light. This is the world of darkness. That is the world of light. What kind of light? That is spiritual light. not light that we experience in the material nature. The light that is generated by sun, that light is spiritual light, known as Brahma Jyoti. This is the world of darkness, that's the world of light. This is the world of darkness. By the divine arrangement of Krishna, the sun comes up and there is moon and there is fire, and therefore we get some light here. Had sun, moon and fire not been there, what would have happened to this world? Would there be any light? No. Whereas the spiritual world is full of light. And in this world of light, there are innumerable spiritual planets. Those planets are known as Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha. Again, what's the meaning of the word Vaikuntha? Vai means devoid of. And Kuntha means anxiety. So that is the world that is free from anxiety. There is no anxiety. Whereas this world is full of anxiety. We are always struggling to free ourselves from anxiety or remove our anxiety. But that world, there is no anxiety. Again, why there is no anxiety in that world? Because in that world, there is somebody who takes care of everything. Now, if somebody takes care of everything, will you have any anxiety? Like say, for example, if you have a friend who pays all your bills, takes care of all your needs, and on top of that provides you with everything that you don't even know that you need, but actually you do. So if there is someone like that, consider what would be your situation. Will there be any anxiety? No. As a matter of fact, there is somebody who is already taking care of us in all respects. But because we simply don't want to accept him, we are burdening ourselves with all these anxieties. We are thinking that we have to take care of everything. Unless I take care, there will be difficulty, there will be trouble. That is our problem. But there is somebody who is already taking care of all our necessities, all our needs. Let us consider, like, what is our basic need? What are our basic needs? One of our basic needs is food. Now, just consider, where does food come from? Does food come from Costco? Where does the food come from? Just consider the food, all the food that we need. How wonderfully that arrangement, an endless supply for those arrangements have already been made. A seed falls on the ground, a tree comes up, and in the tree there are fruits, there are nuts, there are grains, and there are food. And not only that, it is supplied in that way. Now consider, a seed of apple falls on the ground, an apple tree comes up. And in that apple tree, there are many apples. In those apples, there are many seeds. And in each seed, there is a tree. Apple tree. In those apple trees, there are innumerable apples. In those innumerable apples, there are innumerable apple seeds. And in them, there are innumerable trees. So tell me, who made this arrangement? Who made this arrangement? Our food's need is supplied. But more important than food is water. Now the water there, three-fourths of this universe, and three-fourths of this planet is actually water. But that water is useless. You can't drink that water. Ocean water, can you drink? No. Can you cultivate with that water? No. Now see what a wonderful arrangement has been made. The sun's rays are making this water from the ocean to evaporate. Then it forms the cloud. With the wind, the clouds are distributed in different parts of the earth. And then they condense and come down in the form of raindrops. Distilled water, pure water. Now who made this arrangement? Okay, even more important is oxygen. We are taking oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. If the process continued endlessly, what would have happened? At some point the whole atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide. Did it ever happen? Why not? Trees and plants are taking carbon dioxide and giving out oxygen. Who made this arrangement? Who made this arrangement? Now, did we ask him, oh God, give me our daily... Sometimes we did. God, give us our daily bread. But we never said, give us our daily apple. We never said, give us a glass of water. We never said, give us a breath of our oxygen. Without even asking, they have been supplied by him. Now tell me, does he care for us? Yes. This is how he cares for us. Taking care, this is how he's taking care of us all the time. Now, if we depend upon him, then will we have any anxiety? A person who is already taking care of us, will we have any anxiety? No. Now, in the material nature, we are not depending upon him. That's why we are always in anxiety. But in the spiritual world, everyone depends upon him. Therefore, they are free from anxiety. Therefore, the spiritual world is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha. Devoid of anxiety. Now, the Lord eternally resides in this spiritual world surrounded by his pure devotees, his associates. But the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, he resides in a region even beyond Vaikuntha. That region is known as Golok. Golok. You know what's the meaning of the word Golok? I described what is the meaning of the word Vaikuntha. No anxiety. But Golok, what is the meaning of that word? In Sanskrit, every single word has a specific meaning. Everything has a meaning. There is nothing without a meaning. In Sanskrit, there is nothing called blah blah. Everything is meaningful. Like in Sanskrit, now the word Golok, Go means cow and Lok means the planet. It's a planet of cows. So that is where the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally resides as a cowherd boy. He tends the cows. Therefore, another name of the Lord is Govinda, Gopal. He maintains the cows, he is Gopal. He gives pleasure to the cows. Therefore, he is Govinda. In this way, he is residing eternally in the spiritual world, in a region called Golok, and the place is called Vrindavan. So that is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Krishna. Different incarnations have been described in this way, and then it has been pointed out that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ete changsha kala pungsha, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. These incarnations are all parts and parts and parts of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although maintaining the same potency, there is no difference between God and His expansions. But Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. An example has been given in this respect, that just as one lamp lights other lamps, when the other lamps are lit, they all give out the same amount of light. There is no difference between the first lamp and the other lamps. So similarly, there is no difference between Krishna and his different incarnations. But Krishna is the first lamp, in a way, according to this example, that lit all other expansions, or all other expansions came from this Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna eternally resides in Vrindavan. Now, different incarnations actually come practically in every yuga, every Chatur Yuga. Time moves in cycle, isn't it? After a second comes another second. After a minute comes another minute. In this way, hours, days, weeks, months, and so forth. So the higher dimension, or kind of highest dimension of time, one of the highest dimension of time is yugas. There are four yugas make one cycle. Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga, Kali Yuga. These four yugas make one cycle. The duration of these four yugas is 4.32 million years. And a day of Brahma comprises of 1,000 such Chatur Yugas. 1,000 Chatur Yugas make a day of Brahma. So that means 4.32 million multiplied by 1,000 is 4.32 billion years. So Krishna, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, comes once in a day of Brahma. Once in 4.32 billion years. Not even 4.32 billion years. That is one day of Brahma. But then there is Brahma's night also. So that night also is 4.32 billion years. So that means 8.64 billion years. Krishna comes once. And night is generally not considered, because when you're sleeping, you don't have any consideration of time. So let us consider that in a day of Brahma. Now, in a day of Brahma, I told you before about Manus, 14 Manus. Manus are like the foreman of a shift. How many of you know the operations of a factory? The factories have shifts, right? Different shifts. So what happens when one shift is over and the next shift begins? When one shift is over, then everybody leaves from that shift. And a new shift, everybody comes in. Right? So now a shift in a factory has a foreman, the leader of the shift. four men. So Manu is like the foreman of this kind of shifts in that consideration. Now there are 14 Manus, and seventh Manu, his name is Vaivarshata Manu. Out of these 14 Manus, on the seventh Manu, each Manu's duration of reign, each Manu's reign comprises of 71 Chaturyugas. Like, let's calculate that also in simple way. Brahma's day consists of 1,000 Chaturyugas, right? 1,000 divided by 14 is how much? About 71. So each Manu's reign is 71 Chaturyugas. Out of the 71 Chaturyugas, the 28th Chaturyuga, in Dwapar Yuga, towards the end of Dwapar Yuga, Krishna, the original personality of Godhead, comes. And coming here, what he does? He displays his Braja Leela or Vrindavan pastimes. What is so special about Vrindavan pastimes? In simple words, I'll say, in Vrindavan, Krishna is not actually displaying himself as God. There he is a cowherd boy, as I mentioned earlier. He's a cowherd boy. Now, if one sees God as God, then what will happen? His attitude towards him will be full of awe and reverence. God must worship him. Right? Now, if you harbor that attitude, then what will be the mood? You become his servant, subservient to him. But there are three different relationships that are beyond that servitorship. Servitorship is between master and servant. Now, more intimate than this relationship of master-servant is the relationship between friends. More intimate than this friendship is parental, or relationship between parents and children. And more intimate than the relationship between parents and children, or parental relationship, is relationship between husband and wife. So gradually we see that the relationship becomes more and more intimate. So beyond servitorship is friendship. Which is friendship, beyond friendship is, or more intimate than friendship, is parental. And even more intimate is conjugal relationship. Now, friendship takes place among equals. Now, who can become equal to God? So, who can become friend of God? Okay, in friendship, at least they're equal. In parental, God becomes inferior and you become superior. Parents are superior. The devotee becomes superior to God. Who can become superior to God? So how can there be this relationship? And in conjugal, it is like between a relationship, loving relationship between a young boy and young girl. Who can develop such relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That is why these relationships are not available in Vaikuntha. Because where there everybody has the awareness that God is, that Narayan Vishnu is God. Therefore their attitude towards him is reverential, full of awe and reverence. But in order to enable his devotees to develop these relationships, Krishna, in Vrindavan, he does not display himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In a way, he makes the residents of Vrindavan, his associates in Vrindavan, forget that he is God. Mind you, this forgetfulness is not forgetfulness out of ignorance. But this forgetfulness is the forgetfulness out of love. Don't we forget out of love? For example, the son has become the state president. It is not that the mother doesn't know that her son is the state president, but the mother doesn't treat him like a state president. It's not that he doesn't know that he is a state president, but because of his love, he treats him in a different way, as her son. So that is kind of an example of how one can forget one's position due to love. So Vrindavan is the region where, due to their love for Krishna, they have forgotten, or they don't really consider that Krishna is God. In their eyes, Krishna is the object of their love. Some see him as their friend. Some see him as their son. And some see him as their lover. That is Vrindavan. So, Krishna appearing once in a day of Brahma reveals that Vrindavan. But after withdrawing his pastimes, Krishna considers that I have now revealed my Vrindavan pastimes, but how will anyone get to know? Or how will anyone ever be able to enter into Vrindavan? So that's why, and now here Krishna has this consideration. This has been very beautifully described in Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then later it has been described by Bhakti Vinod Thakur in a book called Navadvip Mahatmya. And so this consideration of Krishna was that devotees will naturally serve me in the mood of Vaidhi Bhakti, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures. But serving me, following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, one will, when he'll achieve his perfection, he'll come to Vaikuntha. But Vrindavan is beyond Vaikuntha, so how will anyone ever go to, or will have access to Vrindavan? Everybody will serve me following Vaidhi Bhakti, and then he will go to Vaikuntha. And devotees will always serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead following Vaidhi Bhakti. Because if the devotional service is not rendered following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, it simply creates a disturbance. Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Pancharatra, Bidhing Bina, Oikantiki, Harir Bhaktir, Utpati, Vakalpati. If devotional service, even though very, very earnest, oikantiki, but if it is rendered without Shruti, Smriti, Puranadi, Shruti, Vedas, Upanishads, Puran, without the instructions, without following the instructions that have been given in the scriptures, if devotional service is rendered, even earnestly, very earnestly, still it will create a disturbance. Utpato iva kalpati. Utpat means disturbance. So, Krishna considered that devotees will always serve me following Vaidhi Bhakti, and by serving me following Vaidhi Bhakti, they'll go to Vaikuntha. So how will anyone ever have access to Vrindavan? Now that I have displayed my Vrindavan Leela, Braja Leela. Therefore, Krishna came as a devotee. Now, when this devotee Krishna is served following the rules and regulations of the scriptures, then one gets access to Vrindavan. This is, and that is why Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The topic of today's discourse was why Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, do you understand why? Okay, now there is another consideration. The other consideration is that there are two types of bhaktis. Vaidhi bhakti, following the rules and regulations, and raganuga bhakti, following the loving devotees of Vrindavan. Rag anuga. Rag means love. The devotees who love Krishna, whose devotion is simply based on their intense love for Krishna, they are called ragatmika bhaktas. The devotees of Vrindavan are known as ragatmika bhaktas. And anuga means following. When devotional service is executed following one of the residents of Vrindavan, then that is called raganuga bhakti. Now Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna came as a devotee. What does it mean? Krishna, when he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he came assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani. Radha bhavad duti shubalitam naumi Krishna swarupam. Krishna came assuming the mood of Srimati Radharani and the complexion of Srimati Radharani. Radha bhavad duti shubalitam. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani. Krishna, so Mahaprabhu is, although he is Krishna, he is displaying the mood of Srimati Radharani, the devotion of Srimati Radharani. So when one is serving Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is he following? Srimati Radharani. Now in Vrindavan, among all the ragatmika bhaktas, who is the greatest ragatmika bhakta? Srimati Radharani. This point we discussed last night also, and again we are coming back to that point. Therefore, when one is following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, although he is rendering his devotional service, following the rules and regulations of the scripture, following Vaidhi Bhakti, but that bhakti is automatically being transformed into Raganuga Bhakti. And in this way, he becomes eligible to enter into Vrindavan. How does he enter into Vrindavan? When he serves Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then ultimately he will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as, who is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Radha Krishna. So he will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he or she will see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha Krishna. Just as Ramananda Roy saw. When Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy having their discussions, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asking Ramananda Roy questions and he was answering, and then ultimately he is seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Radha Krishna, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna. So when you see Radha Krishna, where are you? Vrindavan. So thank you all very much. So that is why Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes? Anand. Yeah, but Krishna doesn't. Krishna comes as, that avatar in the Dwapar Yuga is Yugavatar. He is the incarnation of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. He is an expansion of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, not Krishna himself. And not Krishna of Vrindavan. No, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna Chaitanya, Krishna and Radharani, That Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, not him. Yes, very good point. No, in other Chaturyugas there is no chance of going back to Vrindavan. It is only by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one can enter into Vrindavan. We are extremely lucky. Not only that we appeared in this Chaturyuga after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but specially after Srila Prabhupada. Because of Srila Prabhupada, we have access to that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have been sitting in Los Angeles discussing about why Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? There are some questions here from, I think, the internet. Yeah? Okay. Any other question? Okay. Yes. Yes. Hare Krishna. Thank you. No. The other sampradaya, the other four sampradayas, their destination is actually Vaikuntha. Yeah. It's only the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line that gives access to Vrindavan. Okay, good point. Golok has got two chambers. One side of Golok, one aspect of Golok is Vrindavan, and the other one is Navadvip. Both are in Golok. In Vrindavan, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is enjoying the loving exchange with his devotees, in most intimate devotees. And in Navadvip, the same Krishna as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is distributing that love of Krishna. That Krishna is enjoying in Vrindavan, here he is distributing that love. Well, there are scriptures. Srimad Bhagavatam itself. Brahma Samhita itself. Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu. Yes, yes. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Yes. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and he is supremely independent. Therefore, he decides when he is going to come. Okay? Hare Krishna. Okay, I have a very wonderful announcement to make. So, on August 20th, this year, 2013, there is the appearance day of Lord Balaram, which is known as Balaram Jayanti. So this Balaram Jayanti will be celebrated in this temple in a grand way. But along with, on that day also, one very dear devotee of ours, Rupal, is getting engaged. How many of you know who is Rupal? And how many of you want to know who is Rupal? How many of you want to see who is Rupal? Okay, Rupal, you identify yourself. So, Rupal is getting engaged to Sri Goloka Das. A little background of this Golok Das, the fortunate personality who is going to win the hands of Rupal, is from England, and he was born and brought up in England, although from Indian background. But then the family moved to Australia in Sydney, and then he moved to America as a director of a company, and he is posted in Denver right now. And I heard from confidential source that after getting married, he is going to shift to LA. Sri Golok Das is a disciple of His Holiness Devamrita Maharaj, and he lives in Denver, Colorado right now, but he will probably shift to relocate himself in Los Angeles. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Take the photograph not with the grills, right? When the grills are up.